7:59, 97.5 The Fanatic. Devon Givens with you, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. Tyler Zuli doing a tremendous job, as always, producing the show. Basically co-hosting, even though, you know, we're getting some nice calls in here tonight on the Eagles and some of the side stuff that we had going early. And we're going to talk some television things as well, because I had some questions about what people are watching again, as we are now heading into week number two of, even though the lockdown has become official and we haven't even read the report overall, not the report, but what everyone was, and the report comes out from Stein and Yaron Weitzman, who we had on 2 weeks ago to talk about his book about the Sixers tanking to the top. He tweets out, Josh Harris is worth $3.8 billion. David Blitzer is worth $1.3 billion. And that's the end of his tweet. So I'll leave that right there. 610-632-0975. I do have to find a statement. You know what, Ty, if you don't mind, you find that stuff that they put out there for Philadelphia and for the state about how the new changes have you know, been affected here, impacted here, like what, shut down early this morning and all that stuff. And you can read that one. Whenever we find it, 610-632-0975. But I did have a question in regards to the Sixers. That's a bummer right there. But I did have a question about the Sixers. And in the event that this does not work out and come back, as Josh asked a little bit earlier, from Red Hill, Josh, a great caller, asked about the season coming back. And he mentioned Ben Simmons and the back issue. We know about everything. So, real quick, Mark Stein says NBA play follows up. NBA players, remember, fall under a separate category. The league has already committed to paying players their April 1st checks, but has not yet assured players their full April 15th amounts, since contract include a force major class terms, clause teams can invoke an emergency scenario. So they're paid April 1st, but after that, we don't know.
So after that is when that quote where they call it the Doomsday Initiative, is that what they're getting at?
Yeah. Yeah,
this stinks, man. Everybody's being...
And those guys didn't do anything. What did they do?
Even if you don't have it or know someone that has it, you're being affected somehow.
Yeah.
By the way, the one that you were asking for, the latest from Tom Wolfe...
Yes.
Came out a couple hours ago, beginning at 8 p.m. Residents of the following counties must stay home unless someone's life depends on it. Allegheny, Bucks, Chester, Delaware, Monroe, Montgomery, and Philadelphia.
8 p.m. So now, starting now, 3 minutes ago, please stay in.
Also, I will try to verify this, but I've heard rumors that if you are driving around outside after the specific times, you can be pulled over.
Okay. And if
don't get pulled
case,
over,
we're covered because we're technically essential personnel. We have our...
But don't go out in the car just to go out to somebody's house.
Nah. And it seems like all the places that are still open food-wise, if that's what you need to do, you don't want to eat the food in the house, you've been stuck in the house, you want to get some takeout, you can order that and allow that delivery to get to you at a decent time. Yes. Yes, do that. All right, back to the Sixers thing that's important, but less important than what Mark Stein is recording, okay? Josh calls in about Ben Simmons in the back and if he will return and all of that. And I heard Anthony doing the show earlier speaking about what's going on for the rest of the season if the NBA is no longer... A part of the 2020 camp, it's done. 1920 campaign is done. Season ends, no champion crowned. Sixers are where they are currently with their record in the NBA. And I think it is at 39-23, if I'm 39-26. Wow. 39-26 as of right now. Okay. They're done. The standings as of right now Sixers in sixth place, tied with the Indiana Pacers. Not where I thought they would be at this point of the season. Not where Tyler has thought they would be. Not where many others thought they would be at the completion of this season. The question I had, and we talked about this before with Tyler and with Joe Torti, Brett Brown, 39-26.
The kid is a baller.
Thank you. Does he return? Does Brett Brown return to the Philadelphia 76ers after a 39-26 season? Disappointment, in my opinion, at this stage. No, he did not have an opportunity to finish it through. How they kept preaching about this team was built for the playoffs. He did not have an opportunity to do that and see it through. But based on what we've seen and based on 7 years, six and a half, if you will, six and three quarters, whatever you want to say, I saw no way if the season was ending today that he would be back. I saw no way if they exited the first round, second round, that he would be back. I saw if they exited in the Eastern Conference Finals, getting to a game seven, didn't care where it was, that he would not be back because the finals was the goal put forth by the team and him himself. 60-plus wins he put out there as well for this for the team. I don't think he will be back. And I think at this point, I don't know how Elton Brand could put that out there to the fans and have them accept it, that you brought him back the way you brought him back because of the bounces against the Toronto Raptors. That's one thing. Now you get another, as people were saying, oh, this might have saved Brett Brown's season and his tenure with the 76ers. Guys, I don't think so. How in the world would Brett Brown be sold by Elton Brand to Sixer fans that he is returning as the Sixers head coach? I don't see one reason outside of the fact that COVID-19 got in the way. You can't predict what would have happened. I even had the idea, Tyler would tell you, maybe we'll do it on the next Sixers night, that we do a simulation of the Sixers game as if they're playing the Washington Wizards tonight. Yes, we talked about it. We were going, you know, it's still an option. What was it? I know Phoenix is Friday. I'm mad about that. Obviously, as you know, Tyler, I'm not happy about that one. But they had two other games this week. Two other games this week.
Yeah, so they would have been in Minnesota tomorrow and then in Chicago on Thursday night.
Yes, they would have won two games this week, losing on Friday.
On the road?
They don't win on the road.
They would have won both on the road?
Yeah. They would have won. They don't win on the road, and they would have won these two games.
That's what I'm saying. you've got them.
I would have had them.
Okay.
Yeah. And B was back. You know, they would have won those.
Minnesota games. Worried me.
Losing.
At home.
They would have lost.
Or on the road, I should say.
Yeah, they would have lost to Phoenix. Yeah, so.
Does Devon Givens' basketball mind say that, or does Devon Givens' Mikal Bridges' cousin say that?
My heart says that.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
That's right. You can't win all the home games, right? They have two losses. They're allowed to sneak in the third.
They can't afford to lose that game.
That's why they win those two on the road. Now, the whole thing is, how do you sell it? Tyler, you and Joe looked at me and thought I was nuts when you guys said what you said. And I'll let you say it, and I disagreed. How do you sell? I want you to tell me, how do you sell him coming back?
At this point
way and in this way at this point?
So in our way, in Joe and my mind, it's win a championship. Because I know that things have been bleak for quite some time, and the underperforming has been that way for 3 years now, but you can't win a championship and then say, you know what, this guy's not it. I don't believe that it would have, like, Doug Peterson's Super Bowl earned him probably 5 years. I think maybe a minimum 5 years. Brett Brown's NBA Finals championship wouldn't have earned him 5 years, but it would have certainly earned him the remainder of his contract, which I think would have been two more seasons. Now, if things would have started off next season after winning a championship, like, you know, 5-14, then he's gone. But you have to give him the benefit of the doubt after the guy wins the finals.
And that's the only way.
Yeah, at this point, that's the only way.
And if they do not resume, there is no NBA Finals appearance.
Right.
So if there's no NBA Finals appearance, I don't see a way where Elton Brand can... I heard Mike say this too. Can present this opportunity with Brett Brown to the fan base and have them okay with it.
No, that's...
I just don't.
That's fair to say, because for a lot of us, the season started... And for a lot of people, it was Brett Brown needs to get to the Eastern Conference Finals.
NBA Finals for me.
And you were NBA Finals. So most of, I would say the majority was Eastern Conference. You were NBA Finals. As the season went on, it became more and more apparent that the only way he kept his job was to get to the finals. Now we sit here looking back on what could have been or may have been or still may be. We don't know. Now it's finals win or bust for his NBA tenure. Or not NBA tenure, but Sixers tenure.
Will that continue?
I don't think that they're going to have a choice. I mean,
to bring him back?
No. I'm saying I don't think that they're going to have a choice but to let him go.
Okay. All right. You're on my side. I think he's
fine. Especially with the way that things have played. Again, if the NBA is able to, we're able to get past this and the NBA resumes its season and the Sixers find a way to win the championship, then no, he's back. But to what your credit, to your credit, what you say all the time is, we got to see how the games are played. You always say how it happened. If they get to the finals, how it happened, maybe. But nothing short of finals appearance gets him his job back.
I agree. And in my opinion, they don't play anymore this season. So
the season's totally over?
I think the season is done, and they don't get the opportunity to do that, and I don't think he returns. I just don't. I don't know how you sell this to the fan base.
Do you think that's the case for the other leagues as well? Maybe the NFL was standing, but do you think that's the case for the NHL?
I think it's yes.
Yeah. And then what about baseball?
I think they start late.
Like June?
Like July.
Wow.
And try to just
play like 80 games.
Do what they can and get the postseason in.
Sure.
And do that, yes. And in terms of other coaches, I don't know other coaches' situations in the NHL. I do know some in the NBA. I think it's a case-by-case basis, of course, team-by-team, organization-by-organization basis. This has been now 7 years, and we know that they had to have a press conference to announce he was coming back last season.
Yep.
I don't think there will be another one to announce he's coming back this season, because this is another weird situation that allowed him, that he's allotted another chance to guide this team to the postseason.
Yeah, teams that are confident in their coach moving into the next season don't have press conferences.
No.
Somewhere in that front office have been a shadow of a doubt. There had to have been.
Without question. And Elbow Shaferi here on Twitter, Brian, who jumps in with us, if season doesn't resume, Sixers do get the Thunder first round draft pick, making the Grant Ilyasova trade the crowning achievement of the Colangelo era. Absolutely right. If Brown is back, it is only because they don't want to pay a second coach. That I agree with.
He'll still be under contract.
Is not good enough, but that goes along with what Mark Stein is just reporting
sure.
a little bit here.
You right. know, I will tell you one thing. You talk about different situations per team. I'll tell you one coach who will be back next year.
Flyers head coach.
Alain Vigneault.
AV is back.
For sure.
AV is back, and he should be back. Give that man an extra year.
But yes, it's. I think at this point, especially if the league does not return, he's pretty much run his course here.
I agree with you. I agree with you. 610-632-0975. So I think it's fair. You know, with Anthony asking if the season is done and it's over with, and where they are right now at 39-26 in the Eastern Conference. That is just. I mean, we won this early. When we had to have an early session, we had to have a session, and the phones were lit up because people were not happy.
And it wasn't even an in-the-post session. It was a full Devon Givens session.
4-hour session or 3-hour, whatever it was. I think it was a 4-hour session because Joe came in at the 8 o'clock hour. That's correct. 4-hour session of frustration of where they were at that time, and a lot of it had to do with the road record that was not nearly as bad as it is now. And it was just, it's just terrible where they are right now. And I just, listen, I'm hard on this team. I've given Brown credit for what he's done with the back-to-back 50-win seasons. Maybe he would have had another one this year, but I still don't think it was enough regular season 50 wins to save his job if he did not advance to the NBA Finals for me, the NBA Eastern Conference Finals for you, and yep. many others. And he did not do it. If he was maybe in the top of the Eastern Conference, top three maybe, but even in the top three, he's like five games back of Milwaukee, then that might be saying something for his security. But with a 39-26 record, what are you telling me as a head coach that's giving me the belief that I need to bring you back for next season?
And I think that it's probably pretty telling that I can speak for myself as someone who defended Brett Brown for quite some time. When I've run out of patience, you know, I'm not, I for a long time, I was not at, well, I don't want to, you know, throw the guy under the bus without him being here, but I was not at Pat Egan level of blow this whole thing up.
Yeah.
And when I mean blow it up, I mean the coaching staff, not the players. But I've gotten to the point where I've run out of patience. I've run out of excuses to make. I can't at this point justify rotational miscues. I can't at this point justify why they're built to play one way and they're playing an entirely different style of basketball. And I can't at this point justify why they lose on the road to the Atlanta Hawks and the Washington Wizards.
Cleveland Cavaliers, Orlando Magic, yes.
So to me, it's got to be over.
I think it is. And it's a tough question because, again, the seriousness of what we're talking about with COVID-19 once again impacts real life stuff, as we're reading from Mark Stein, but also impacts the thing that we love, which is the sports that's taking us away from all this real life stuff. But that's real life for Brett Brown because he could be without a job because of what COVID-19 presented, but also because of the 39-26 record that they sport before things happen out there with 65 games already in the books?
Yep.
65 games already in the books. That's not something, as you said with the press conference last year, 65 at this point, that is something that really stands out on the resume of, hey, man, bring me back next year. We got this.
And with 17 games left to play, they've already gotten to the point. I mean, this is with 17 games left.
And they were like, what, 11 home games left, 6 games on the road?
Right, so
like
even that? If they find a way to win all 11 and beat your boy, you know, even if they find a way to win all 11, they wouldn't even get close to the number that I set for them at the beginning of the year. And I've always been the pessimistic, objective view, I guess. So I'm almost always a little bit lower on, you know, the hometown teams than most people. I had them at 58 wins at the beginning of the season.
I had them at 50.
I think I outpaced you and Joe.
Yes, I think I had them at 56, but I think I allowed you guys to kind of push my number. So I folded under peer pressure a little bit.
Yeah, we got you a little
you
bit.
You did get me, and I don't fall under peer pressure. that I had them a little bit higher than I wanted to. I was saying 53, 54 when we were all talking, and when I went on the air, I was like, all right, you guys got me. I'll give you more, like 56, and they still get a top two seed. They should be the best in the East. The Bucks are really good. I don't like them losing Malcolm Brogdon. Joe was on top of that, saying they would be with the best in the Eastern Conference. And look at where they are, Milwaukee, just running the field. Lakers did catch up, though, but running the Eastern Conference from start to finish where we are right now. And I had my doubts with some things, but I liked the team with where they were. But I did think they would get to the NBA Finals. And I thought that appearance, his job depended on that. And right now at 39-26, I just don't think it's enough. I really don't think it's enough to bring him back and justify him for because you're going to list this one as now an eighth year. It's not a seventh year. This is his seventh year. It's done. If it's done, it's done. He's had 7 years in the books, minus the 17 games in the playoffs. He's going to his eighth year. And they were not a top seed when things were done. Can't worry about what would have, could have happened in the NBA playoffs. because they did not make it, unfortunately, because of a real life threat that we have going on. That being said, when operation continues, when the Sixers do return, I don't think he will be the head coach anymore. I don't. And I think that's a fair evaluation on the front office if that is the direction that they go. If they don't go that route and they bring him back, I think it's a mistake. I do.
So I guess that that goes to the question then, who's the replacement?
I mean, there are a lot of candidates, again, out there. I have mine, Dave Yeager. I like even Kenny Atkinson, who was let go in Brooklyn. There, you hear some wild stuff about him, but he looked to be a decent coach in rebuilding that Brooklyn Nets organization on the floor, Sean Marks and those guys in the front office, but he looked to do some really nice things with that basketball team. Those would be two that I would be interested in. Jeff Van Gundy has always been high on top of my list. I think he's interested in coming back. I'm not sure. And I only base that off of the fact that he's jumped back into USA Basketball, coaching that select team that they have over there. And that's a lot of work, not name NBA stars for that USA select team. And not the select team that had the young stars upcoming that Mikhail was on last summer. The one that not many names will be remembered, or college play. You remember them from their college days, not from their pro work in the NBA. So those would be my three. I don't know that Bram would go like a Sam Cassell or something like that, a young up-and-coming assistant, just because of the expectations they have with this basketball team. It doesn't mean that everything is going to get done in 1 year. Not at all. But I like to think that, and this is not any inside knowledge that I have or anything. It's just I would like to think that they would want someone who's a proven coach in this league with a NBA coaching history background, head coaching history background, and not an assistant. Since you're coming off of, even though it wasn't Brand's hire to bring in another assistant, that's what I think. That's not what I know. That's just my opinion.
I'll tell you this from a very selfish, personal standpoint. If it's Kenny Atkinson, I'm going to have a really tough time here at the state because I cut a lot of Sixers audio, you know, and coach pregame, postgame, all that stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So you
he sounds like he's got, you know, marbles in his mouth when he talks.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's a funny guy when you can figure out what he's saying. He's tough to get through, though.
He's locked in as a coach. Let go. Weird thing in Brooklyn with him and Sean Marks and I'm guessing Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, and the whole thing. Weird situation that they had going on, and he's now unemployed, but won't be unemployed for long because someone will lock him up quickly. I said Kenny Atkinson, not in any particular order, Kenny Atkinson, Dave Yeager, Jeff Van Gundy. I'm not sure about any other names that might be out there that I would be interested in. I'm not a big fan of Mark Jackson. Maybe Jason Kidd. Maybe Jason Kidd. I'm not really keen on that one. Ty Lue, I'm not really keen on that one either. But I would understand if that's the direction that they would go. But I'm looking. I'm like, yo, all right, show me.
You have any interest in the guy that used to be the Phoenix Suns coach, Igor Kokoskov, or whatever it is?
Nope.
No.
No inside knowledge there either. I just know.
Fair enough.
No. 610-632-0975. Tyler Zuli's producing. I'm Devon Gibbons. So we're asking this as we continue with the Eagles conversation and the sitcom, overrated sitcom for you guys. Just throwing it out there with the Sixers and listening to Anthony, and I heard Mike take a couple of Sixer phone calls as well. If the season is done, they finish at 39-26, tied for fifth place in the Eastern Conference. They lose the tiebreaker to the Indiana Pacers. Does Brett Brown return as the head coach of this basketball team? I don't think so. I don't think so. Tyler doesn't think so either. So we're asking you guys that. 610-632-0975. And if you're not able to hit us up on the phones, you can hit us up on Twitter at Tyler Zuli. That's two L's and an I at the end. And Devon G, D-E-V-O-N-G, 975. 610-632-0975. And one more side question that we have for you in regards to the Philadelphia 76ers that's hitting everybody as we speak right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens. On 97.5, The Fanatic. The Fanatic.
So, Tyler and I had an opportunity to see something early, and it's a bit of a tease, of course. Well, way to go, Tobias Harris. So, the torture is live on Twitter as well, Tyler. I decided not to turn the television on for a reason, as at NBA, the NBA Twitter account is replaying Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Semis between the Philadelphia 76ers and the Toronto Raptors last season. We all know what happened. I don't want to watch that. That was a hurtful game. I disliked that game a great deal. I even had someone that I'm close to reach out to me and send that to me and let me know. And I'm like, why are you trying to hurt me on this one? Why? Why? I don't want to see that. I don't want to see that again. I tried my best to avoid everything about that when TV shows it, right? The replays and all that kind of stuff. I don't want to see that. That was one of the, that might be outside of the game three of the 2001 NBA Finals, when I thought they should have won back here in Philadelphia after Shaquille O'Neal fouled out. That one hurt. I think this one might be the most heartbreaking loss that I can remember as a 76er watcher in my lifetime. Because of what was at stake, the way they fought, right, through that series, Ben Simmons not playing well at all, Jimmy Butler just hooping, how Jimmy Butler got the game where it was at the end, and then allowing things to happen, the fact that Kawhi Leonard traveled, all of that stuff, right? I mean, that one was a heartbreaking loss for me. Heartbreaking loss. So, we knew it was on. We knew it was happening. We know people are going to watch it. NBC Sports Philly is also re-airing Sixers Cleveland from 2018. That was a really fun game. I hope you're watching that one while you're listening to us here tonight.
Was that the game that they went out and just straight up dominated?
Yes.
They won by like 40?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. With LeBron. Or no, they were up, I think. And then they had, I think that's
oh, no, the oh, okay.
Came back,
yes.
But they held on.
Yes. Okay, you're right.
They were
up by like 30, correct.
And then they let it slip and LeBron.
That was, I'm going to go back and see if I can find the highlight, because I think that was one of, if not, since I've been here, Tom McGinnis's best games.
Okay.
I'll go back and try to find you some highlights.
Okay. All right, yeah. That's a good one, but that is again one of the most disappointing games that I have ever witnessed as a 76er watcher during my lifetime. So, we wanted to ask you guys as an aside, as we talk a little bit about Brown and if he does, in fact, come back once things resume in the NBA and the Sixers, certainly. What's the most heartbreaking loss you have suffered as a Philadelphia sports fan? There are a lot of them. I decided to not say any except for the one that is being re-aired right now, which stinks. And Tyler, which one for you is the one that really stands out for you, heartbreaking wise? You love a lot of sports in this town, so which one?
I go back and forth with one of two.
Okay.
And the reason I go back and forth with one of two for me is the heartbreaking fashion in which the Flyers lost Game 6 of the 2010 Stanley Cup.
Mm-hmm.
Just because of the fact that they did battle back from three games down against Boston and, you know, they had a chance to win Game 6 at home and send Game 7 back to Chicago for a chance to win the Cup. That one was tough. And then the first one that, the reason I always put this one on here is because it's the first one that I can really remember being into. Because in 2001, I didn't get a real, I probably watched the game, but I don't really remember it. Even 02 a little bit more. But the 2003 NFC title game, when they lost to the Panthers 14-3. Because they went right down the field on the first drive,
bad one.
Grabbed 3 points, and couldn't score for the rest of the game.
That was a bad one.
And beat or lost to a team
Ricky
that they
Bannon
had
Jr. got
no
beat.
Right to lose to.
No right. No right. Donovan got hurt. He got speared, I believe, that game right in the red zone. I think they were inside the 10-yard line, and he got speared. He didn't have his wide receivers. That was the reason why they went out
there. Deuce was hurt, too, wasn't he?
Terrell Owens. I don't remember that part.
I feel like Buckholder was playing a lot
right.
that game.
You might be right. And I think that's also the game that Deshaun Foster ran over Mark Simoneau at the goal line to get in, if I'm not mistaken on that one either. Yeah, man, there's some really heartbreaking losses in Philadelphia sports. A lot of them in the playoffs, certainly. A lot of them before the playoffs getting there, which really disappoints certainly a lot of people. So we're asking you guys the most disappointing loss that you have suffered as a Philadelphia sports fan here in town. 610-632-0975 to go along with the main part of the Sixers conversation that we're asking about Brett Brown. We're asking because we were just thinking it. The season could be done. And if the season is in fact done for the 76ers, for the NBA, for the NHL, for the Flyers, AV is fine. He showed in his first year. I get it. First year, even if he didn't show anything great, that he would be back. Brett Brown is in year 7. They're 39-26 with the expectation of reaching 60 wins in the regular season. They are many games back of the Milwaukee Bucks in the Eastern Conference. And I just don't believe that there is going to be a way that he saves his job. I just don't. I don't. 17 games left. I just don't see a way where he saves his job. 39-26, 14 games back of the Milwaukee Bucks. No way. No way, especially with a 10-24 record away from Philadelphia. No way. I just don't see it. I really do not. 610-632-0975. So when you call in to share your thoughts about that or even hit us up on Twitter, I know a lot of people are busy home all day. The only way you can reach out to us is on social media, at Tyler Zulli with two L's, Z-U-L-L-I, Devon, D-E-V-O-N-G, 975 on Twitter. Let us know. Well, about your thoughts with Brett Brown returning as the 76ers head coach and with the Raptors-Sixers game being aired currently for whatever reason. We know why, and we understand it. If it went the other way, we would understand why they were playing it, and we would be watching it. But we did not get the result that we wanted, so we do not want to watch it. So we're asking you guys, that is my most disappointing loss for this particular topic, because I have others, but I'm going to go with this one because they are airing it. Tyler said the Carolina NFC Championship game for him. What about for you? 610-632-0975. We look at Elbow Shaferi real quick, says Deuce played, Westbrook was out in that game, Tyler, along with Carlos Emmons, who was the defensive MVP. That's why, you know, things happened in that game is when I lost faith in Big Red. Elbows, Shaferi.
3 points.
3 points.
3 points.
3 points.
What they managed.
3 points. Donovan got hurt. Once Donovan got hurt.
I know they were mangled, but 3 points? Come on.
Once he got hurt, he was done. And people blame Donovan in that game. I did not blame Donovan
for three picks.
That game. Because he got speared and he was done and he had a busted up rib or whatever he had. No. Let's go to Lance in Arizona next on the Fanatic. What's up, Lance?
Hey, Devon. I was going to say about that game, he threw 3 picks to Manning in that game. Corner for the Panthers. And yeah, what Brian Westbrook got hurt, I think, like week 16 against Miami, like at the very end of the year, and they went into the playoffs, like everyone was hurt. Like Paul Graf Manis was starting at defensive tackle. That's what I remember.
Yeah, and again, Mark Simoneau getting run over by Deshaun Foster. Donovan throws those 3 picks to Ricky Manning Jr. And what it was, though, for me was his wide receivers weren't good enough. His targets were terrible, and that's why they went out the next year and got Terrell Owens.
That's the year that that doesn't bother me as much as losing to Tampa. That's the game that I thought they were the better team.
Yep.
And they just came out flat after that first touchdown, like they were going to just steamroll this team.
B. Mitchell.
And then you saw it the rest of the game.
B. Mitchell.
That's the one that sticks with me.
With the great kickoff return to start things off for them, they scored. And after that, it was done.
Yeah, like, that's the game that I will never forget because it was the last game at the Vet. You win that game, I'm almost positive they go and beat down the Raiders because I thought they were a better team than the Raiders. Like, that one sticks with me. And then that Joe Carter home run, because I remember that's the first childhood memory I have of a Philadelphia sports team in a championship game.
Yeah.
And that home run, like, I was depressed for probably, like, 3 or 4 weeks. I didn't watch any sports because I was just like, I couldn't believe that. And those are the two games that, like, stick with me. Like, the 76ers one's close. As a newer one, that one's pretty close up there for how it hit the rim like 8 times and then went in.
That one was tough, Lance. Before we let you go, man, I have to ask you, since you are here and you're talking about both the disappointing loss and all, and bringing up the Sixers. Sixers done, 39-26, sixth in the Eastern Conference. The NBA does not return. Does Brett Brown return next season?
I would say no, but I have a feeling the 76ers are going to bring him back. It's not because I want him back. I just have a feeling that the 76ers are going to be like, well, he didn't get his opportunity to prove himself in the playoffs, and they could have turned it around once Ben Simmons came back and all of them and were built to be a playoff team, so he didn't get to prove it, and then they bring him back. That's just how I personally think that's going to go.
That's okay, because that's all we're asking. We're asking what you feel and maybe, you know, what you feel the team will do and what you would do. So I don't think that he will be because I don't know how they resell it. And to your point, even though if they sell that, I don't know that flies with the fan base. But it's a great reason. To your point, man. Thanks for the call, Lance. As always, 610-632-0975. Great explanation as to why he would be back because of everything that happened. He didn't get a fair shot. Well, in sports, we know a lot of things are unfair. The head coach of the Toronto Raptors, he was the coach of the year. Was he fired unfairly? He was fired unfairly if you look at it, but what did he do? He did not get them to advance the way that they were supposed to advance, and that's why he lost his job, and the new guy came in and won.
There's a difference, though. There's a difference between winning Coach of the Year and winning the NBA Finals.
I'm talking about the fact that he had the tenure, like Brown, okay. He was there. And they had an expectation for where that team was supposed to go.
That's fair.
They did not reach
it. That makes a lot more sense.
They did not reach it. They felt he had capped out as the coach, and that's why they went with Nick Nurse, and he pressed every button, and they also...
And had Kawhi Leonard.
Went out there and got Kawhi Leonard. 610-632-0975, and we also have an update that we will give you about the Olympics on the other side. A lot of people were curious of what they would do. It looks like we might have an answer. 610-632-0975. Tyler Zuli is with me. I'm Devon Givens. We're with you until 10 here on The Fanatic.
Nobody guards Simmons, and Simmons jams it. How about that? Ben Simmons dunks it, and LeBron missed.
Give me that ball. Devon Givens on 97.5, The Fanatic.
Simmons against Osmond. Fakes it to JJ, drives it, jams it. Ben Simmons is 6-for-9. And I think 4 of those are slam dunks.
I think that's the game where he pulled out that slick move on the right side during the fast break. He faked it, put it between his legs from behind his back, you know, in typical right crossover between your legs to the left, right, simple dribble. But no, it was more... left hand or right hand, and whatever he did made it seem like he was going to pass the ball to the guy on the right wing, and he went in there and he dunked it, and he had everybody fooled. It was a great play, and he was fantastic in that game. Ben Simmons, 610-632-0975. So we're asking you guys, Brett Brown, it is the business, right? It is the business, and it's unfortunate that we have to sit here and talk about things like this. At some point, it's going to be talked about. At some point, we're going to have an answer as to the NBA returning or not returning and where the Sixers are going to be and what the roster construction is going to look like, who the coach is going to be, and that's why we're asking you guys in general, what do you do? What do you do, and what do you think the Sixers will do if the season ends today and Brett Brown returns or not returns as the Philadelphia 76ers head coach? 610-632-0975. get to some of these tweets as well. Donovan tried to play through it. We were running the ball effectively. This is to the point of the Carolina game. Yeah, Reed proceeded to call three straight passing plays when everyone watching knew his ribs were broken. Protect your quarterback is coaching 101. And that's why I say I don't blame it on him. He was hurt. He was hurt. So here's the update on the Olympic thing that we said before we went to break. A lot of people were wondering, because the Olympics were in Tokyo this summer, focusing on many, many sports, of course, and the USA men's basketball team, of course, being one of them that a lot of people are going to have their eye on. So Adrian Wojnarowski is reporting here that the United States Olympic Committee has requested to the IOC that the 2020 Tokyo Olympics be postponed. I think that that's the right call with everything considering that is going on. And I think they will be granted the postponing of the Olympics. I really do. It just seems like it's the right thing to do. And I guess there's a statement out there. Yeah, there's a statement that is out there where Team USA related to COVID-19 in Tokyo 2020. So I think that it should be on hold. I think it will be on hold. And you just try to push it back to another year. It's going to be hard with everything being set up this year. We have no idea what was going on for 2021 next summer. So it looks like it has been postponed. Thank you, Tyler. So what are you saying? You saw that it's postponed because they put it out there?
Yeah, so the IOC, one of the IOC committee members did an interview with USA Today and said, quote, on the basis of the information the IOC has, postponement has been decided. The parameters going forward have not yet been determined, but the games are not going to start on July 24th. That much I know.
Okay.
All right, so we might get them. Canceled. Yeah, we might get them, but not right now.
Postpone. Yes. And that's key. It's just a matter of when and where and what they decide to do. I think they listen, the postponing thing, that's obvious. The question is, will they play it at all? That's the question. And I really think it's going to be hard to put together, man. I do. I think it's going to be hard to put together. I don't know how they're going to pull it off. I just don't. That's just me. I have no idea how they're going to pull it off with everything that's going on. 610-632-0975. And again, we were talking about the Philadelphia Eagles and what you feel the direction of the team, what they did in the offseason. Was this the right way to go? I say yes, going defense first and then focusing later on the offense. I think it was the right thing to do. I really think they've done things the right way. I really do. And I'm glad that they went this direction. They will be fine. I hope in the draft. I hope it would be great for them to hit gold in the first round, second round, third round. So really, we want them to hit in the first round. We really need to see them hit in those later round picks.
Well, I've said multiple times, I think that they have 10 picks right now, as of right now, or nine eight, now. Eight. Oh, it's down to eight. Yeah. Okay, so they have eight picks.
Giving up so two for the Slay.
The initial number was 10 before the Slay trade. I said that they had to hit on two of their first three picks and five of their first eight picks. Now that they have eight, I'll adjust that a little bit. They still need to hit on two of their first three, but now they need to hit on five of eight total.
Yes.
That is really difficult to do, to hit on 67% of your first three picks and over 50% on your entire draft.
Yeah, and even looking at what happened last year, right, with Miles Sanders and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, hitting on these picks, making sure that Dillard is a player. Miles Sanders is a player. So if you went back and graded that and how that draft went, I don't know that you get some really high draft grades on what happened last year. I really don't.
No, I think you probably get... Sanders gets a good grade.
Certainly.
Sanders gets a good grade, but then Sanders' good grade is balanced out by Arcega-Whiteside's awful grade.
Probably gets an F.
And then after that, you've got a bunch of guys that either made no impact or played very little.
Dillard gets a C.
Okay, so you give Dillard a C. What does Sharif Miller get?
Sharif Miller gets F? Incomplete, I guess, because they never did anything with him.
And what does Clayton Thorson get? F.
Yeah, because they let
bad draft go. Class.
Right. Yeah. So 5 of 8, not easy to do. Not easy to
It's not. But we've gotten to the point where we almost have to demand it.
Absolutely.
Guys' jobs are on the line.
Including possibly his.
For sure his.
They don't make the postseason. He's made these deals. He's made these trades, which are good ones. Darius Slay getting DeSean Jackson last year with Malik Jackson. Also acquiring this year Hargrave and Slay. Some nice pickups with Parks and Brown late. It's about the draft now for him and for that stuff to produce. And then the question, I don't think Doug will really get questioned because he still made the postseason every time except for his first year. So he'll be fine. Howie will really, people are already questioning him now. He will really get some questions later on.
Well, and the Hargrave signing is great. It adds a lot of talent to your defensive line. It adds depth to your defensive line. The problem is, have you looked at the contract of Hargrave?
$339 million, and I think the first two are really the ones that...
So the first year is like $7 million. The second year, it jumps up to like 13 or 14. Mm. It's really going to be precedent for him to hit on young, cheap talent in this draft, because next year is going to, that contract mixed with a lot of other contracts is going to put them up against the salary cap.
Yeah, so again, 5 of 8 draft picks. I'm okay with that, Todd. They need to hit on these.
The good news is...
They need to.
The good news is with Hargrave, you probably don't have to address the interior defensive line.
Totally agree.
With Slay, you probably still have to draft one corner,
because
but you don't have to draft two.
No.
So now you've cut options down. Now you're down to one corner. Still probably need two receivers.
Agreed.
A linebacker.
An offensive line.
And an offensive line.
Depth.
Right. So that's five instead of seven.
And you're probably going to take a quarterback again later.
I don't know if they will.
You don't think so?
No, I really don't. I think that they're going to rock with Wentz and Sudfeld and another veteran-type quarterback contract.
I think they'll still take someone, use them as a practice squad guy to develop. I don't think they carry four. I think they're going to have them on a practice squad where... Maybe no one, they don't think anyone will touch him, that type of thing.
I'm still not convinced the backup's not going to be Joe Flacco.
Oh, I know it's not going to be Sudfeld.
The only thing...
I don't care about that re-sign.
Right.
I don't.
The only thing that Flacco stands out for me is the fight that he had, the publicly calling out the coach that is now with the Eagles. That's a concern.
Tough sell, but it's
but, like, I mean, is that not a legitimate backup for the Eagles to have?
Yeah, what other options? Mariota was an option. Jameis Winston is still out there as an option.
Yeah, but those guys are going to get that, like, fringe starter money. You know, like when a team has two quarterbacks and they pay both?
Yeah, where Jameis has that opportunity to possibly take over.
Jameis could still very well get paid by the Patriots.
That's a good point.
He could still get paid by... I guess his options are kind of shrinking now. I mean, he could technically still get paid by Miami or L.A.
Yeah.
I mean, his options are certainly shrunk.
You're talking the Chargers.
Yes, the Chargers.
Yes. Because $94 million cap hit is not going anywhere.
No. But the options are still there. I think that they go after the veteran-type backup.
I do, too.
Where you get a guy like Flacco, for instance.
Yeah, of course, the local ties.
I'd certainly take a shot on Dalton if he's willing to take a cheap deal.
So would I.
I don't like him as a starter, but as a backup, I'm all in.
I've always liked him. He's underperforming the postseason. And yes, I would take him as a backup here, of course. Yep, because if Wentz does go down, maybe Doug can do enough with what they do, simplifying things and having him out there healthy and leading them to that next step. And then he'll have a statue.
Giving him an offensive line that... You know, can keep him upright.
Yeah, exactly. And then he'll have a statue after they win the Super Bowl.
No.
610-632-0975. No more statues. Talking Birds, talking some Sixers. A little fun size stuff with the heart. Not fun with the heartbreaking loss, but fun. You know what we mean? Taking you away from COVID-19. And even the television shows. The tough things that are going on right now. TV shows, Mike's doing the Field of 64 for sitcoms and dramas. We were asking. King of Queens. I like it. Someone said it was overrated. So we ask you guys the most overrated sitcoms in history. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you alongside here producing Tyler Zulio on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.